JC Corcoran Podcast.
Are you telling me that you've updated Fire and Rain to include everything you've seen since 1970? I can't imagine what that sounds like.
You don't have to imagine it, Stephen, because we rehearsed it before the show.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen the rise and fall of the Beanie Babies trend. I've seen man buns, MySpace, and the Baja Men. But I never thought I'd see a new Star Wars again.
Once I looked down and saw some sneakers that had wheels built in the heel. I've seen grandmas reading 50 Shades of Grey. I've seen rainbow suspenders and a Taco Bell fourth meal. And gluten-free brown sugar Special K.
I've seen snakes upon a plane. I've seen shampoo with conditioner built right in. I've seen Al Roker's body go from fat to thin. And I kind of hope to see Left Shark again.
I saw a strange pizza pie and it caught my eye. It was folded into a pouch. Lord knows what you call those. I should have asked the pizza guy.
Calzone.
Well, there's Bud Light Lime and there's Cybercrime and Flavor Crystal Gum. Quidditch teams and skinny jeans cutting blood off from my thighs.
I've seen toast that's multigrain. I've seen almost every episode of Friends. I've seen adult diapers, I think they're called Depends. But I never saw that show with the Olsen twins.
It's called Full House. How many more verses are there here, James?
75, Stephen. 74.
We gotta go to commercial here, James. I will be right back.
Oh, I've seen Seinfeld and Elaine.
James Taylor, everybody.
Did you hear him talking about it on the radio? Did you try? On the wall, did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
And with that, we say good morning. On the 13th of April, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. Thank you very much for checking out the podcast today. And don't forget, we need your help. We don't have any giant advertising budget or anything like that. So you got to spread the word for me. Tell everybody you know, everywhere you go, that JC is yakking away here every morning. The cop had to know the difference between a taser, which is worn on the left side of your hip, and a pistol, which is on the right side of your hip. The handles don't even feel the same. The gun is a dark, you know, sort of anthracite color, and the taser is a bright yellow or bright green. And whatever it is that you're firing, you have to hold it up. It's not like you're John Wayne and shooting from the hip, okay? You have to hold it up And as you're looking at the suspect, you're I don't know. Does anybody believe this? Now, I'm not a gun expert. I've never fired a gun in my life. I have no desire to do so, by the way. And that doesn't make me weird. It just makes me not be interested in guns. I'm not interested in being on either end of a gun. That's just me, all right? But I talked to a couple of cops last night. One who was on the St. Louis police force for 10 years, and he told me there's no way you don't know the difference. And I'm like, well, you know, she was yelling. By the way, she was on the force for 26 years, so she was experienced, all right? And she's yelling, taser, taser, taser. And he said, yeah, well, that's the same thing as cops who will start yelling, stop resisting, when the suspect isn't resisting at all. You're trying to make it look good. It's theater. And please don't get me wrong on this. I would not want to be a cop. I have a healthy respect for anybody who can do anything that I can't. I couldn't be a cop, so I have a healthy respect for police officers. It's a difficult job. I wouldn't want to do it. I don't know how the people who do it manage to do it without going insane, but I think that's what we're seeing every once in a while. I think we're seeing people snap. 26 years on the force, making crappy money, you know, 26 years of, you know, being out on the streets of Minnesota. Think about that for a minute, all right? Like right now in Minnesota, they're still wearing heavy winter coats, and this is spring, all right? It's the middle of April. It's not going to be warm there until the middle of June. So now it's like the scenes in Fargo where, you know, she got to get up every morning, and it's like, you know, 14 below every day. So think about 26 years of that, where three quarters of the year you're walking around onto the streets and going around out in your police cruiser where the weather is just unspeakable. And maybe after 26 years, you're just finally tired of it. And you do snap and you do shoot. And trust me, that's the best scenario I can lay out for you, because nothing else makes any sense. And I know there's probably people listening right now who say, yeah, but he broke the law. If you don't break the law, then you don't have encounters with the police. Well, first of all, we all know that's not true. Cops are pulling. Well, in this particular case, cops pulled over a guy because it was dark and they couldn't see his temporary tag in the upper right-hand corner of the rear window of the SUV. So they pull him over because they think he's driving without plates. They just couldn't see the temporary tag. So now you really are being pulled over under false pretenses. And I just realized I'm getting my cases all mixed up, you know, and that's a bad sign when there's so many of them, you can't even keep them straight anymore. All I know is we got more trouble up in Minnesota, and it was an ugly scene last night. And why do I have this feeling it's going to get uglier? Maybe it would be a good idea. And maybe, just maybe, the country could benefit a little bit if nobody else got shot for about 3 or 4 days. That would be nice. Anyhow, I'm sure there's people listening right now who say, yeah, well, you know, the guy was basically a criminal. Well, he wasn't, but there are cases where the people who are being pulled over and end up being shot and killed are criminals, or at least people who have broken the law in some way. And there's a lot of people who just say, well, look, you know, that's it, man. If you break the law, you're exponentially increasing your chances of having to have a police encounter. If you don't break the law, you got nothing to worry about. And we know that's not true, though. You know, if you get out of the car, you get shot. If you stay in the car, you get shot. And by the way, don't look down your nose at quote-unquote criminals, because one of these days, you're going to have a nephew or a niece or a cousin or something like that, or grandson, whatever the case may be, who goes out with his frat boys some night, something goes wrong, and the next thing you know, you have a criminal in your family, and it's unlikely you'll refer to them as a criminal. Well, Bobby didn't mean anything. He was just out with his friends, and things got out of control, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I thought the pandemic was going to be the worst thing we were going to have to deal with during this whole period. And if you think 2020 was bad, finally, some people have stepped forward to say, it's not as bad as you think. You should have been around in 536 and 537 when it stayed dark across much of Eastern Europe and throughout Asia. Spring turned into summer and fall gave way to winter without a day of sunshine. It was like a black curtain over the sun. Millions of people across the world, most populated countries, squinted through very dim conditions, breathing in this thick, choking air. Farmers lost basically every crop they were relying on to harvest. A lot of historians are basically saying it was the very worst year ever to be alive. I don't know if that's supposed to make me feel better, because it really didn't. And now this.
Nobody can do it like me. Nobody.
Nobody does it better.
Nobody can do it like me. Honestly.
Though sometimes I wish someone could.
Nobody's stronger than me.
Nobody has better toys than I do.
Nobody does it quite the way you do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
Whenever you hold me,
nobody's better.
There's some kind of magic inside.
And nobody even understands it but me.
That keeps me from running.
Nobody's better.
But just keep it coming.
I know what it means.
How'd you learn to do the things you do?
Nobody's fighting for the veterans like I'm fighting for the veterans.
There's nobody that's done so much for equality as I have.
Makes me feel safe for the rest.
There's nobody more conservative than me.
Nobody does it half as good as you.
Nobody would be tougher.
Baby, baby.
Nobody knows more about trade than me.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do. Nobody's ever had crowds like Trump has had.
There's nobody that understands the horror of nuclear better than me.
Nobody knows the game better than I do.
Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
I know the H-1B, I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do.
Nobody knows more about debt than I do.
Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
I forgot. How did all that work out? It was 12 years ago today, 2009. Phil Spector convicted of second-degree murder for shooting actress Lana Clarkson. Do you know who she was, the woman that Phil Spector shot? Because he's doing 19 years to life. He died, well, he was doing 19 years in life. He died in prison in January of this year. Anyhow, Lana Clarkson, remember Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the very final scene at the school prom, I guess it was? And that weird biology chemistry teacher, whoever it was, played by, is it Vincent Schiavo or Victor Schiavo? I don't know. This guy with the crooked head. It looks like it was a very difficult birth. Anyhow, he shows up at the dance with an absolutely atomic blonde. Everybody's standing there looking, going, how in the world are you with her? Well, that was her. That was Lana Clarkson. This is the anniversary, 37 years ago, Pete Rose smacking his 4,000th hit. He's still not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. 27 years ago, Billy Joel officially separated from Christie Brinkley. You know, she's in her 60s now and looks absolutely fantastic, but she's not all there either, okay? Let's be honest here. She's in a helicopter crash with some complete stranger and ends up marrying him. Okay, they break up. Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley break up because she has a near-death experience and somehow bonds with this guy, a complete stranger on the helicopter, and ends up marrying him. Birthdays today, Allison Williams. She's the one that does not exaggerate stories, as far as we know. She was in Get Out, and she was in Girls. She's 33 today. Brian Williams' show, by the way, is absolutely excellent. On MSNBC, it's on late at night, and it's really, really good. And, you know, Brian Williams has always been sort of a pompous ass, but I got news for you. There's a lot of pompous asses in this business, and he's just another one, but he does a good show. That's how I feel about Bill Maher. Bill Maher is absolutely insufferable. I worked with him a couple of times, and all the rumors you've heard are true. He's a giant. But he does a great show, and that's all I care about. Max Weinberg, drummer for the E Street Band, and Conan's drummer for a long time, 70 today. The Reverend Al Green, all you do is put together a song that goes, And Al Green will sing a song to it. Trust me, every song Al Green's ever done goes bum bada bum bada bum bada bum bada bum. That's what it is. Let's Stay Together, one of the great all-time songs, though. Al Green, 75 today. Tony Dow. And this is one of these things where you say to yourself, this is why you should never allow your kid to be an actor or an actress. My daughter's 11 years old. I've had so many people come to me and go, oh, my God, we've seen the stuff you post. She's so good. She wants it. You can tell she has that thing. She has that quality to be some sort of an actress or entertainer or something. You've got to get her registered with an agency so she can do this. And, of course, my answer is absolutely not. It's not happening. And Tony Dow is a pretty good example. Actually, Beaver is a much better example. But Tony Dow is 76 today. He's still forced to. I'm sure he doesn't like it this way. But he's still forced to be Wally from Leave it to Beaver, which was made 60 years ago. And the poor guy was so typecast as Wally, I don't think he ever got another job. If he did, it wasn't anything substantial. So he got a kid who's been an actor since he was like 10 years old, can't get a job because he's so highly identified with Wally on Leave It to Beaver. To me, that's not a life. That's not a life at all. Then you get Macaulay Culkin. That's another one, all right? Macaulay Culkin, who was doing heroin for a while. Although he and his wife had a baby last week. First child for both of them. But then you switch around and you got Ron Howard and his brother Clint, who by all accounts seem to be normal. So I just don't understand. Maybe it's the family's got to get involved or something. I don't know. Ron Howard and his brother Clint, by the way, wrote a joint memoir about their showbiz childhoods. Here's the quote. We are excited to share the story of how our parents pulled this off, raising two show business kids who had no clue that their lives were out of the ordinary. Somebody polled over 13,000 Americans and asked about their dream job. And a surprising number of people say their current job is their dream job. 18% overall said they're currently doing their dream job. That's almost one in five. A quarter of people in the poll were either retired or said the question didn't apply. So if you don't count them, it means one in four people are working their dream job right now. Another 26% said they have a dream job, but they're not currently doing it. 25% don't have a specific position they consider their dream job, and 7% weren't sure if they do. One in five men say they're in their dream job right now, compared to about one in seven women, and people in their late 20s and 30s were the most likely to say they love their current job. How can it be a dream job if it means it's a job, which means you're still working? And if you're still working, how could it be a dream? Another new survey found 45% of people with kids or pets feel like they can't have nice things because they know anything nice will just get ruined. I worked for a radio station once. The guy didn't want to pay for a banner with the radio station name on it for like personal appearances and stuff. You know, we do remote broadcasts and festivals and stuff. Because he said, well, it's just going to get ruined anyhow. Okay. So let's go out there without a banner and nobody will have any idea who we are. Is that your suggestion? I guess it was. New study out of the University of Cambridge in England found there's no connection between having a lot of stress and losing your self-control when it comes to eating a bunch of junk food. The two things are not related in our brains. Here's the quote. Binge eating is not caused by stress-induced impulsivity. Stress alters brain activity but doesn't prompt binge eating, contrary to theory. Now, they didn't say whether eating all that food makes you feel better after a stressful day. So maybe stress doesn't lower your willpower, but lowering your willpower can help you cope with stress. Maybe. There's a recipe on the Food Network's website that's going viral right now for a salad that uses popcorn and mayonnaise and vegetables. A lot of people on social media are pretty sure they would not be into it. Yesterday was National Grilled Cheese Day. That's why the airports were so busy. And in honor of the holiday, Kraft invented grilled cheese incense. That's right. If you burn it, it smells like grilled cheese. They're giving away 1,000 sticks. If you want to win one, you can enter by, oh, stop it. I'm going to enter a contest to win a grilled cheese incense. I'm not that desperate yet. All right. The latest on COVID. Back in December, a guy in the UK was busted for trying to get around quarantine rules by taking a dangerous 5-hour jet ski ride from Scotland to see his new girlfriend on the Isle of Man. He wound up getting 3 days in jail, and now he might have even gotten worse news. After all that, they broke up. I risked my life for you. A new survey asked people if they think they'll, quote, behave responsibly when everything reopens. 3% of people say they probably won't. 1% say they definitely won't. We did a story about a survey the other day that said that people are just going to go out and start boinking like crazy after all this quarantine as soon as Dr. Fauci says, all right, have at it. People are going to be humping and pumping to the point where they could probably generate enough electricity to power the state of Texas. Costco finally has a plan to bring back free samples like you remember them. They say that soon they're going to start installing plexiglass barriers by sample stands so they can give out samples of meatballs, sandwiches, noodles, and more. I don't like to take those things, even though I'm hungry. I don't like to take them because then you feel compelled. You feel terrible if you just walk by. You say, okay, we're having a special on these little pizzas, and they give you a piece of pizza, and you eat the pizza, and then you walk away. You feel compelled to take one of the pizzas. Go, oh, you did such a good job of selling me on this. You know, what are you going to do? Take the pizza, and then you go to the next aisle and just take the pizza out of your cart and leave it on the shelf somewhere. No shocker here, but people whose main source of information is either TV news or Facebook are more misinformed about COVID than people who do research with more credible sources. Duh. You may have heard about some people who've gotten the vaccine and still ended up getting sick. In Michigan, the grand total so far is 246 people. That is 0.0144% of the people there who've gotten the vaccine. That means 99.99% of fully vaccinated people in Michigan haven't gotten COVID. Considering how complex the human immune system is, it's really hard to argue with those results, I think.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Michael Brewer, a brewer in Shipley. I'm talking about the performance on Lawrence Welk of...
I knew that was coming.
One Took Over the Line.
Well, I'll tell you, Tom and I didn't even see it because we were in London at the time, and my mother was watching Lawrence Welk, and my brother Keith just happened to be walking by just about the time that they were introducing it, and Lawrence Welk referred to it as a modern-day spiritual, too. It's gospel to us. We didn't even believe it yet. You got to be kidding me. In fact, I was told that my mom was going, no, Lawrence, no. 32 years later, we got our hands on a copy of it and put it on YouTube for the world to see. I think it's well over a million hits by now. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
That was a fun interview. I'll play that whole thing for you sometime. Michael Brewer, his mother sitting there going, no, Lawrence, no, no, don't be playing One Toke Over the Line on the Lawrence Welk Show. I watched that on public broadcasting. I watched that every week because I'm fascinated by the fact that it was 1969, such a pivotal year. We're coming off the assassinations of Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., sort of like trying to turn the corner. This was pre-Watergate. Think about that for a minute. That's how long ago that was. And you had this entire counterculture with the CTA album, you know, by Chicago, which was a tremendous album. Crosby, Stills, Nash were coming along. You had this music that was really, really changing. You're coming off Woodstock, obviously, in 69. And that, while all that counterculture was just really bursting through the surface and starting to permeate our entire society, there was Lawrence Welk. There you go. There's my Lawrence Welk. And it was like there were two separate universes going on. You think the world is split right now? Go back to 1969. Jimi Hendrix is playing Purple Haze, but Lawrence Welk is playing songs from the musical Oklahoma. And it's not just the music. It was the whole cultural thing. And when they take the shots of the audience, everybody looked like they were about 100 years old. And the costumes, it's like there were two separate universes going on. I'm fascinated by that. Sometimes A friend or a family member will enter the room I'm in while I'm watching Lawrence Welk on Saturday evenings and just give me this look like, are you okay? And if you have a young person in your life, maybe it is a son or a daughter or a niece or a nephew, maybe grandkids, whatever the case may be, you might want to pay attention to this and steer them in the right direction. A recent study ranked the best cities in America for young professionals right now. It's based on four factors: income, rent, unemployment rates, and how many single people there are. And here are the top 10. Number one, Madison, Wisconsin. Income and rent, reasonable. If you're still looking, 50% of people in Madison have never been married. I don't know if it's still the case, but I do remember that back in the 80s, I remember doing the story that the woman to man ratio in Madison, Wisconsin is 3 to 1. Three girls for every boy. Number two. And by the way, Madison, Wisconsin, beautiful city. They got their own lake, a couple of little hills. I mean, it's really pretty there. Fargo, North Dakota. Well, you got to live in Fargo. Anyhow, the average rent is only $818 a month. Salt Lake City, Utah. If you can be around all those Mormons, they say it's a great place. Raleigh, North Carolina at 4. Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now you're starting to get pricey, I think. Charleston, South Carolina. Arlington, Virginia. Lincoln, Nebraska. And let me just tell you something. I can tell you right now, that is one of the ugliest, most godforsaken cities I've ever seen. That place is a dump. And how it made this list, I have no idea. Then again, I haven't been there in about 35 years, so I don't know. Maybe things have changed. But they would have had to change an awful lot. You know who lives there? Trish Brown. Remember the little tiny meteorologist from Channel 4, Trish Brown? She and her husband live there. He's a gastroenterologist, and I'm not sure she's doing anything right now. I think she sort of gave up the career. St. Paul, Minnesota at number 9, if you want to live in Minnesota, where they're having all the fun right now. And finally, Nashville, Tennessee. And it's not just Nashville. It's the surrounding suburbs and everything, too. That place is really happening right now, and that's another city that has made unbelievable changes over the last probably three or four decades, actually. And they have an entire entertainment district, and of course you got all that music and all that heritage, and it's pretty, and there's stuff to do. If I'm Major League Baseball and I'm looking to expand, you know, I always talk about Charlotte, which is a little bit bigger city. But I'm telling you, they ought to put it in Nashville, because you have people visiting from all over the world coming into Nashville. There's other stuff going on. It just seems to me like Nashville is one of the obvious choices if you're going to expand. And, of course, they got football there now, too. They got hockey. You come in there with Nashville, and I'll tell you one thing. Nashville is a lot more happening city than St. Louis right now. St. Louis still stuck in its old archaic thinking. Nashville, one of those cities that said, we're tired of being Nashville. let's try for something else. We'll still call it Nashville, but we want it to look and seem and feel different. And so that's what we're going to do. And they did it, and they did it upright. And finally, vaccine shots are going unused in Mississippi, as are salads, by the way. How about a solution? Bacon-scented vaccines? Where do I line up? All right, that's it. We're out of time. JC's podcast is now 4 days old. Please tell your friends. Stop complete strangers on the street and say, have you heard JC is doing a podcast at jconthewine.com? It's available for 30 minutes, absolutely free, every day, Monday through Friday. Now get home and sit down in front of your computer already. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.